This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, we have it. Hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We have the results of an NBA.com annual survey. They survey the league's 30 general managers pretty much off the record, and they get thoughts on all sorts of things. Should Luka Doncic be MVP? Who's their top pick to win the NBA championship? And others. We'll get to that here in just a second. Calvin Watkins, a Cowboys beat writer, had a tweet about Dak Prescott coming out of his doctor's appointment today, and it looks like no real update. It's pretty much status quo since Jerry Jones said this morning his grip isn't strong enough to really throw a football yet. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting timeline because, as Mike McCarthy has said in his press conferences, he'd like him to have a full week of practice. If that's the case, he has 8 days to get there. And I that'd be for the Philadelphia game.
Yeah.
We're dang sure he ain't playing in the Rams game. Will he play in the Eagles game? If not, the Lions game. Whatever the case, people are starting to get anxious to see how good this team could be with number four back there in the huddle. All righty. Doncic was a clear favorite for MVP for the second time in his career in this NBA.com preseason survey. This is all 30 GMs. He collects 48% of the votes compared to 34% for Giannis. The other players getting significant votes was Joel Embiid. He got 14%. That would be, what, three or four votes. And then Steph Curry got one single vote. Not a hot pick to get another MVP.
From his general manager.
Probably.
His own guy.
Wouldn't you still take Giannis, though? I think that's the question that's most interesting. As a Mavs fan, we love Luka. We're hoping his offensive greatness and his passing and his shooting and everything can become so great that it sort of overwhelms your two-way superstars. But I don't know if Luka will ever be good enough with what he does for me to say I would rather have him over Giannis. Giannis was tapped to be the best defensive player in the NBA by these GMs. Draymond Green, number two. Rudy Gobert, number three. And when they were asked if you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player, they went with Giannis over Luka, 55-45%. Now, Luka did pick up 2% more. Last year it was 57-43. Now it's 55-45. So he did pick up one more vote in there. But how would you guys take that? If you're in charge, you suddenly get to pick any player in the NBA. You're trying to win the championship. Who are you taking?
It's a good question, and I think both of those guys, I think those are the right two answers, and I could understand, and I'm a Luka guy, and I would go with Luka here. I mean, Giannis is still young enough to where it would make sense if you're starting a team. I believe he's 27 years old, so still plenty young Giannis, and we've seen guys develop a bit of a more of a jump shot as their careers go on, and you're starting to see that a little bit with Giannis, though that's still probably the weakness of his game. Luka offensively is a juggernaut, and then his weakness would be the defense, obviously. But with Luka being a little bit younger and just the way that he makes everyone around him better, I mean, just the idea that the Mavericks team that we witnessed last year going as far as it did, like I think Luka is he's the biggest reason why, no question. I just feel like he makes guys around him so much better.
Beat the Suns.
Yeah, I mean you beat the one seed, you go on the road to do it. I just feel like Luka he stepped onto the scene as an absolute monster. Like, if he never got better from his rookie year, you're still talking about a really dominant player, and it seems like he is still going to be able to add more and more to his repertoire. So I'd rather just have the offensive juggernaut guy who is also extremely efficient and gets everyone else better around him and creates shot-making opportunities for the other four guys on the floor.
Yeah, there's something to it because you can find defense elsewhere.
Right.
And if you have a two-way superstar, he's not going to be able to give max effort on both ends of the court, you know? And then you take Giannis and the three-point shooting into the factor as well. Yeah. It's probably why it's getting closer.
Yeah, but I think I would take Giannis because I know he's a five-time all-defensive NBA guy.
And is that
then,
right?
Yeah, and then he's two-time MVP already. Six-time All-NBA. I know that Luka's three-time All-NBA player.
you know, if you tell me that I'm going to get that complete player, the thing with Giannis is he's so hard to stop, but so is Luka. But I just, to me, if you're saying, okay, if I could have one player, give me the guy that is a factor on both ends of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look with Giannis, I mean, his drive and his ability to get to the basket and that ability to finish right there, that's impressive. And Luka's got some of the same traits. But I know on the other end of the court, I'm going to get a guy that is that, that's athletic, that can block shots, that can defend, that can come out, can do, it's more of a two-way player for me than it is just with Luka, who could develop into a better defensive player. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen it. I mean, the offensive stuff is just tremendous. But you could say the same thing about Giannis with his ability just to attack.
It's Shaq-esque. It's rare that you see somebody totally dominate in the paint like that and make other massive great athletes kind of, look pathetic. And Shaq did that. I think Embiid can do that at time. Anthony Davis did that during the Lakers championship run. But to do that from a point guard spot's amazing. I think maybe if I was trying to make a team from scratch, go Luka. If I need to win the championship this year, go with Giannis because of the age difference. I want the next 12 years of Luka. But yeah, how good can Luka be defensively if he comes in shape?
Yeah.
We'll see. I think there are limitations. A lot of that is like, how fast can you shuffle your feet? And I don't know if Luka's ever going to be anywhere close to elite in that. Okay. As far as the title pick, let me give you Mavs positivity. I won't be surprised at all if the Mavs win the title this year. I think they have it all. Maybe Luka becomes an even better scorer. They need another ball handler, but I think they're going to get one. They go with the Bucks 43% of the vote. The Warriors get 25. The Clippers get 21. Now that they're healthy, and the Celtics have 11. The Mavericks did not get any votes, guys. But you're going to talk about them taking their biggest weakness last year, which was giving up all those damn offensive rebounds and having no rim protector. They're going to make that a strength. JaVale McGee, Christian Wood, they're going to get a ton of rebounds. They're going to challenge shots. And I think Jason Kidd knows the way. He's got standards. So I will not be shocked at all. I'm not going to pick them. I don't think they're the favorite. But they're one of those teams that I think by the time we get to May, the league's opinion of them now could be totally different.
I agree, because there's still a lot of question marks surrounding what the Christian Wood effect is going to be. And then not really taking into account that, hey, you do get Tim Hardaway Jr. back off the bench, and he can help you from the scoring standpoint, that void that Jalen Brunson's going to leave you. Yeah, I think this is going to be – they're going to win a little bit differently here, but what was their big Achilles heel last year is now going to be a strength of theirs. And it's the front court, it's the rim protection, and it's the rebounds. So I'm bullish on the idea of Christian Wood and him and Luka playing alongside each other. I think that's going to be really, really good. And I think they will address this backup point guard situation by the deadline. So, I'm playing under the idea that by the time they get to the playoffs, the roster is going to look a little bit different. Who knows what type of trades they're able to make? I mean, it could look quite a bit different, or at the very least, just one additional guy here that is more of a ball handler that can do some shot creation and things like that. But yeah, I feel pretty good about it, because I think they're going to bring defense to the table every time. And then 9.9 times out of 10, they got the best player on the court.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're better than Memphis.
They are.
I don't know if they're better than Golden State.
They might not be.
I don't know if they're better than Denver.
They could be.
Minnesota.
They are.
Clippers.
Maybe.
Pelicans.
They are, unless Zion goes beast mode.
But that's the thing. Like, the Pelicans and the Clippers, it's like, yes.
Lakers.
They could be really good, probably, but the injuries for the Pelicans and for the Clippers, I'm not trusting their health in any way.
I think the Mavericks could win 50 games and still be the sixth or seventh seed in this thing.
They could. I could also see them win 60.
Yeah, that's the problem that I think you run into. I think I love the Mavs. I really do. I want them to have every bit of success that they can. I just worry about the West getting a lot better. And I think the West is going to get healthier if you look at what's going on with the Clippers.
Yeah.
In that situation. The Pelicans, I think that Zion, I think the Pelicans were a team last year that did the play-in thing, and once they made the trade, man, they were a team on a mission. And now they get their best player back potentially full time there.
Yeah.
That might be a tough. That might be a tough.
Sure,
one right
there are a lot of potentials, but I think the Mavs have roughly as good a chance as these other teams. You know, and there's a lot of teams that could beat them, but I think they're now good enough. If you give them just McGee last year and Wood, this Kevon Looney development that kicked their ass in like half of the games against the Warriors really doesn't fester and develop like that. 2-1-4 general, are you back to drinking? Mavs aren't winning a championship this year. Not back to drinking yet, although as all the great ones, I do reserve the right to come out of retirement at any time. 254, come on, General. Doesn't Jason Kidd get some credit for last season? He does to me. Yeah. I'll put him up there with anybody.
Yeah.
I think he's got some Phil Jackson type of stuff going on. I think he might end up being a legendary coach in this game. But this anonymous GM survey, NBA.com, he didn't even finish in the top 10. They got Spolster number one, Kerr Popovich, Monty Williams, Ty Lue, and then Coach Bud and Taylor Jenkins. Receiving votes as well. Jason Kidd got no love in that, and I think that's going to be considerably different very soon.
I think he's okay with that. Yeah, let him fly under the radar. I think they're one of the better coach teams in the NBA.
They even did which head coach has the best defensive coaching. Jason Kidd, not amongst the top five or the three also getting votes. Clearly he has the best defensive coaching in the entire league. Him and Sean Sweeney, right?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Definitely needs to be mentioned up there.
Absolutely.
Like, we always talk about in the NFL, like, tell me who your coach and your quarterback is. And, like, in the NBA, tell me who your best player and your coach is. And you feel fantastic when you ask that question about the Mavs right now.
All righty, gentlemen. We got to go. Thank you so much. We're, as you can tell, very excited for the NBA season coming up. We got to run. Jared Sandler joins you. We have Rangers-Yanks coming up. Two more games in the season, including tonight's, and the pregame's coming up at 6:30 here. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to catch up with Jared Sandler right before what could be a historic evening out there in Arlington with your Texas Rangers hosting Aaron Judge and the Yankees. And Jared Sandler has the pregame show coming up at 6:30. Sands, how the heck are you?
I'm great, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing outstanding. This will be our final baseball conversation of the season. I'm sure we'll have you back for the winter meetings and for all kinds of fun thereabouts. But there's a question I've been dying to ask you since opening day, Jared. What was the turning point of this season?
Probably all the times, you know, we had these great 3-4 minute conversations. I'm going to miss them, and I know you are as well, and I look forward to more of these in 2023.
I do too, man. Hopefully we can have a little bit better of a baseball team to talk about next year. But in the meantime, how do you like Aaron Judge's chances of hitting a home run over the next 2 days?
I feel good about it, although I will tell you, we were talking about this earlier, and I imagine it'll come up in the pregame. It does seem like this is starting to get to him. Yeah. And I get it. You know, it's when a spotlight is on a team, you know, that's one thing. When a spotlight is on a player and that player plays for the Yankees and, you know, he's got a deadline here. This is not like, all right, it's just a matter of when, not if. This is a matter of if. And I hope the Rangers keep pitching to him. They have it. You know, he hasn't walked once this series so far. And if he gets it, he gets it. I don't want a Michael Strahan, Brett Favre situation here. You know, you should earn it. But I do think that he's got a good chance. I said when we got to the ballpark today that I thought tonight was the more likely of the two opportunities here today. He's going to get it. See, you know, a few different pitchers, I imagine, starting with Jesus Tinoco and. You know, we'll see. But he really hasn't come close. You know, he's only hit one ball in the air to the outfield here over these two games. And his at-bats have just looked a little out of character for Aaron Judge so far.
Jarrett, as a broadcaster, and I know you're not on the call of the actual game. I mean, I know you're doing the pre and post. But as a professional broadcaster that does games, do you have a call in mind for situations like this? Do you go through something that – you're going to say, do you leave it silent? How do you approach a historic home run like this?
Yeah, I've never been someone who likes to have something like written out or rehearsed. You know, Jim Nantz can claim that he doesn't, but it seems like he does, and he's a legend. So there's, you know, obviously that's worked for him. I maybe think about things that you want to make sure you don't say, but I – I just like to let it kind of happen. And then, yeah, I think it's always good to leave some space, especially if the crowd is really making an impression. If the crowd's quiet, then leaving some space doesn't make that much of a difference. But, you know, if the crowd's making some noise, which if that happened here tonight, they certainly would. I think letting people hear the crowd is also important.
Did Aaron Judge get some boo birds today?
So I couldn't tell if he was getting booed for not getting the home run or if people were booing because that meant that they weren't going to see the home run in that game. I guess he was getting booed. I don't know. But there's been a lot of booing. If a pitch is not in the strike zone, there are a lot of boos. So
they weren't booing the player. They were booing the game.
They were booing the game. Exactly. I like that.
Oh, I like you, Jared. Thank you so much for your help this year. Hell of a year broadcasting once again, and we look forward to catching up with you as soon as possible.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Enjoy these conversations and appreciate all the work you guys do.
Cheers, buddy. There he is. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter, by the way. If you're a big Rangers fan and you don't follow Jared, you are missing out because he's the best source for everything. Okay, Rangers baseball coming up pregame right here. Now, tomorrow there's going to be no G-Bag Nation. KNC will go like 30 minutes late, and then the first pitch at 3 o'clock, so our next show will be Thursday. For Lucius Alexander there in the Pimp Cup, Brian Broaddus and Eric Chiafalo. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until Thursday at 2, you're going home with the Nation, Eddies.